Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the In and After Show. It's me, Lindsay Loveridge, and my besties, Jackie Jing and Mr. AJ Cosplay, to talk to you.
Oh, I'm one of your besties.
Yeah. Yay. Not as much as that little cat creature.
As Mike here. His name is actually Mike, but this is my son's cat, Mike.
I love that his name is Mike. It looks like a Mike.
He does look like a Mike, right? You can win him at Round One Arcades. There's one that opened in my area, and they have lots of like Japanese plushy, like Rilakkuma and stuff, prizes. And also, they're really generous with their tickets. So my son won Mike here, and he lives with us now. And his face brings me joy, unlike any other cat. He just kind of looks like maybe he smokes or something.
He looks like an odd taxi character.
So anyway, this is Mike. He's going to be joining us today for all of our My Hero Academia shenanigans. But before we get into that, I want to remind everyone to please sign up for our newsletter at www.animenewsnetwork.com/newsletter. The first issue went out on Sunday, so this is a live, real thingy now for realsies. It comes out every Sunday morning, so it's like getting your Sunday anime newspaper right in your inbox. We've got Lauren Orsini putting that together for us, who is stellar. If you aren't familiar with her work, she's got a book about being an otaku journalist. You can get it on Amazon. She doesn't know that I'm doing this, so maybe she'll be happy when she listens to this podcast. Or you can follow her on Twitter at Lauren in Space, all one word. But yeah, she's doing our newsletter for us. She's a big fan of newsletters. So yeah, sign up for that for sure. We'll have like deals in there, and it gives you all the highlights of like the best most important, interesting things that Anime News Network has published in the last week. So yes. Also, I got testers of our new merch that you can get over at kimonomerch.com. So after I kind of look through that, you know, I'll be showing some of that off, but I'm pretty excited about some of the designs that we've got. So I can't help.
I'm excited now.
Yeah. So that's all my preamble. Today we're going to be talking about not only My Hero Academia, but we've got some big anime movie news to talk about. We've also got some really expensive cat merchandise that isn't Mike to talk about. So I think first we'll probably, we should get to the biggest one, which is that there's a new Dragon Ball Super movie coming out now. It comes out next year. Akira Toriyama is on board writing the screenplay for it. He's written the screenplay for the last couple of them, including Broly, Resurrection F,
Battle
of the Gods. So he's on board again for this one, doing the character designs and stuff. I haven't kept up on Super, you guys. So where did the TV series, like, what was the stopping point for the TV series?
God. I don't, like, it's okay to discuss spoilers. Now it's been like a couple years, right?
Yeah,
so like, don't at me. I know everyone's gonna go nuts. I actually haven't finished Super. I think I like got to, they were like fighting the magical girls like right after Jiren in the Tournament of Power. But like, I'm pretty sure the gist of it is like the Tournament of Power ended and everybody was like kind of like on solid terms, right? And Zeno, who is like the god of the universe, which by the way is the most bizarre character ever. It's like this little child, like little dude, and he's the head of the universe, and that's kind of like the most frightening thought in the world. But
isn't that kind of like Yu Yu Hakusho, where they had like a little baby be like
he was in charge of hell, right? And even then it's like his dad forced him to just basically be in charge. This is if a child was in charge of 12 different universes at once and could blink you out of existence.
Yeah, and he has like a child mentality. I felt like the Yu Yu Hakusho baby was like an adult in a baby's body in ways, even though he had his baby moments. It's like Zeno is straight up just a child, and he's like, I'm going to do this because I feel like doing this. And you're just like, you have so much power. But I heard later on that he's actually like a really great character, but I think he's extremely frightening to me at the point that I'm at.
Okay. But, so what it's actually more like is there's an episode of The Twilight Zone that is kind of like that, where it's about this kid who ends up being like super having scary psychic powers, and all the adults around him are just trying to like
appease
Ooh. Him because he could just like have a tantrum and like blow you up or something.
But I'm super excited about this. I feel like for, I don't know, a couple years now, you know, there were all these people like dropping, you know, Dragon Ball Super. I'm sure like AJ, you know this on Twitter. It was like all these theories about Dragon Ball Super is going to drop any time now. And that was like 2 years ago, you know?
Yep.
And
give the people what they want.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and then I was just kind of like, I don't know if it's going to happen, but you know, obviously if this movie is coming out, perhaps there's going to be another series, you know, I mean, it's just gotten everybody excited again. And
yeah,
I'll be honest, like for me, Dragon Ball Z is just near and dear to my heart. You know what I mean? Super was fun, but it didn't hit me as much as Dragon Ball Z did. And I think that was just like the nostalgia. But will I go see every single Dragon Ball movie in a theater? Yes. Will I watch any series related to it? Yes. Like, so like, I'm excited. I'm on board for it. And frankly, Broly is probably in my top three for anime movies of all time. Wow, like I know that it's a little bit, you know, it's very Dragon Ball-esque where it's like a little wonky and comedic at times, but I don't know. First of all, Broly is just like the perfect specimen, and I wish that he was real and he could be my boyfriend. I'm just like, he's like tall, muscular, really sweet, a little bit stupid. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like Aoi Toda and him. Like, I mean, I don't know which one's better. But so I'm like definitely excited about this. Like, whatever comes out of it, I'm excited for. So.
Nice.
Same. My question is, what exactly is going to come out of this? Because you're right. The Tournament of Power was the last arc we had. That was almost 3 years ago. And there were all these murmurs that we were going to get more. There were like people who spoke with official people behind the scenes, and then it just didn't happen.
Yep.
Rumors say it didn't happen because so many people were talking about it, or because they allocated staff to other projects like the Dragon Quest anime right now, which you should definitely watch. Not enough people are talking about that.
No one's talking about it. Is it good? I honestly didn't even watch it. And I wanted to,
but it's still going too. Isn't it?
It's still going.
Yeah,
it's like I know nothing about Dragon Quest, and it's really fun.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah,
and Toei definitely stepped up there. Like, basically, the staff that the rumor is that the staff that was supposed to work on it split up onto all these other projects. So we have the Digimon reboot, we have the Sailor Moon movie, we have I think we got a new season of Precure. We've got Dragon Quest, and there's one more show Toei's. Oh yeah, the Wano arc of One Piece, which looks phenomenal. So Toei, basically, Broly was a turning point where it's like, okay, now we know how to better use our staff properly with everything. So let's put it into all of these projects. But the question was, what's going to happen to Dragon Ball? The manga's still going. The manga skipped Broly, and it's an arc and a half in, like past the Tournament of Power. So is this movie going to be one of those arcs? Is this movie going to be a completely separate thing? Toriyama specifically said in his thing, maybe we'll get to see a familiar character. And I'm like, who? Are you talking about someone from the manga? Are you talking about, are you going to reboot another character? Because Broly originally wasn't one of his characters.
Yeah.
That was something that one of the other Hannah animator directors came up with.
Yeah, it was like a special, unique character just for the Broly special. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I can work with this. So I wonder, I'm perfectly fine if Toriyama wants to reboot more movie villains because they're really cool.
Oh, I love the villain. I think the villains really cool. are better than the heroes. I mean, Vegeta is technically a villain, you know? I've always been the girl who could never be first place. Like, I will never be a Goku. Like, I'm always like the Vegeta who is like, for some reason, in second place.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't quite figure it out, but I will work my ass off. Also, the Dragon Ball Z villains, I was playing DBZ Kakarot recently, and I just, like, Raditz, Zarbon, like, Nappa, I mean, the list goes on and on. Like, I just, I'm like, I love Dragon Ball Z for the villains. And, I mean, Broly, I guess, was technically a villain in the past, but, like, he was just such a little sweetie pie.
Yeah, so, now they rebooted him as this sweet pie, and I'm like, what would happen if Toriyama just did that for like, because you're right, all of his villains are like really quirky and endearing, and I really turned from this character that I cared nothing about to
nobody liked Broly. Yeah,
nobody liked Broly.
Yeah,
a lot of people liked Broly, but like no one.
What was to like about him before?
He was
like,
cool, he was, and that was it.
Development. Yeah.
He was cool, and that was it. But now it's like he's cool, and I care about him. So
character design wise, I've always really liked Boo.
Especially when he went,
which one? Like I liked it. Well, both of them. I like his pants. Like I like his cool pants.
The little,
but I like the little one well because he's just so small and angry and pink. And then I like the big one because he just like eats everything and blows weird stuff out of his
people to candy. I was like, you are a sick. I ain't even gonna start. It's funny. I think Frieza is one of the best villains of all time. I really
that's
do.
Why he can't ever stay dead.
Yeah,
it's just exactly. He's just like. Literally,
so charismatic.
Aura. Yeah. He's so, oh my. I mean, I hate to, I'm sorry. Like, we could literally talk about it forever, but I think, like, hands down, I'm just excited. I can't wait to see what they come up with, especially after what we saw with Broly. Like, I'm like, this film's got to hit. So,
this will be the film that makes me return to the movie theater.
I know.
Probably. Well, with the right
I don't know what's coming out. Is the My Hero Academia movie, though, coming out before that?
Oh yeah, it is. Good segue.
Yeah, hey, I look for those when I can find them. So yeah, there's the My Hero Academia, the movie World Heroes Mission just revealed some new character designs for it for Deku, Bakugo, and Todoroki. And these are their stealth suits.
They look so good.
I think they're pretty cool.
Oh, so good.
I really like them.
I like the shoes a lot. That might sound kind of weird, but I kind of like how Deku's shoes almost look like robot feet. Like he could really like kick the shit out of you in those because they look heavy.
Those are very e-boy shoes.
Are they?
Yeah, like Tim's, like giant, like the giant-ass boots that a lot of people wear now.
Yeah, I could see these on TikTok for some reason. Like,
I can't wait. I want to see cosplay of this because
exactly.
Yeah, because it looks good. But this movie is actually it's coming out in August, which is pretty soon. I guess we'll see if that works out because you know things have been really off and on with state of emergencies and. In Japan, and they keep having to close everything down because they get their shit in order with their
Can we see Bakugo's? I was gonna say I like Deku's the best.
Yeah,
Todoroki's costume has always left me desiring more. He is such a cool quirk, and I just feel like his costume's so meh.
Yeah,
and then Bakugo looks like Sonic the Hedgehog here.
Oh, because of the headpiece.
Yeah, and I was like, interesting. I definitely think Deku won though.
Yeah, as far
well, I like the little eyes on his hood.
Cute. Yeah,
it's both cute and kind of menacing in a way. I really like it.
Yeah, also his like character color being my favorite shade of green really like, helps him out in this case. Like I love emerald green, so that's one of. And the gloves are a little creepy looking. I don't know, like he doesn't have any extra fingers, but it definitely looks like he's got an extra one for some reason.
The gloves are weird. I will.
The gloves are kind of weird. But overall, I think the designs are pretty cool. And I don't want to get into spoiler territory, but a lot of people have been saying this movie looks like it probably takes place after the current season wraps because of stuff that happens.
Would make sense considering this movie comes out in like August, so it'll probably come out around the end of this season. The timing of their films has always been weird because chronology wise they always seem to take place after the seasons that they air during, but they'll air in the middle of the season and advertise, go watch the movie, you'll be spoiled to things that we might just reveal.
As far as like the spoiler-esque part of it, people have been suspecting that mostly because of the three characters it focuses on and something that happens with them in the story later as far as kind of another training-esque arc sort of thing. I think that's as far as I'll go with it. So, which would be interesting because that would mean that this is like adapting actual manga content as opposed to being like a standalone story, right? Because haven't all the other movies been unique like side stories that weren't manga canon?
I thought so, yeah.
They weren't manga canon, but the writer did help with them, and technically they all fit. They don't contradict anything,
yeah,
really. So, you can take it. You can take it or leave it if you want to consider them canon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, that'll be fun. I hope. I mean, what would be really fun is if we got some sort of virtual theater screenings for that or something. Because that's a movie that looks like they probably would have had a world premiere of it at like AX this year if it was happening.
Oh,
so, I know. So yeah. So even if like, I don't know, the AX crew could somehow like post a screening, that would be cool.
Send us screeners, yeah.
But yes, otherwise send us screeners for sure.
Send them screeners. Let them see the movie so that they can help me get hyped for it.
Yeah. Yes, please. Speaking of, I don't know if this is the last time we're going to be talking about this movie. Probably not. But just, you know, for all our Demon Slayer stans tuning in right now, the movie is officially the number one film worldwide for 2020. It is absurd. What time are we living in right now? I don't know.
That's insane.
Outside
if you told me that when Lindsay and I were like, what, 13, I would have been like, there's no way. It's a joke.
You're like, liar.
Yeah, it is amazing to me.
It is crazy.
How
yeah.
mainstream anime has become. Like, it is wild to me.
If you add in the amount earned in the United States with the amount earned outside the United States, it's like over, let me see if I can round in my head, over $500 million. Half a billion dollars.
That's insane.
That's a yeah.
And that's with a limited screening in the United States.
Yes.
Today's Rengoku's birthday, by the way.
Today?
Yeah. I think he tweeted it out earlier today.
Happy but someone did Goku
in chat too.
Rengoku. Not Goku.
Yeah. No, Rengoku. Though Goku Day was on Mother's Day.
It was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, that's so why I was confused. I was like, wait, what? Yeah. Happy birthday, Rengoku.
I love Rengoku.
I haven't got to get on this hype train yet because I haven't gotten to see the movie. But like as soon as it's out on a VOD, like I'm watching that.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's definitely fun.
Yeah. So yeah, that just it's doing crazy. And then as far as super expensive, lots of money coming into the anime world, Banania. My favorite cat that lives inside of a banana is teaming up with Gucci, a brand I will never be able to like afford or reconcile the cost with. Like,
yeah.
maybe I do have the money, but then I'm look at it and like I can't.
Yeah,
I can't do that. Anyway, they've paired up together for a line of goods. So,
oh my god, they're so cute.
I am so pissed at how cute this shit is.
I know, so mad cute.
That freaking hoodie there is like $1,000. And it's like, why are you doing this to me?
Why is a hoodie $1,000?
Because it's Gucci. That's why.
I just can't.
Like, you make your own fashion house, establish yourself as, you know, someone who dresses movie stars, and you too can sell a banana cat on a sweatshirt for $1,000. But
oh
my
gosh,
they have a like a pendant I was looking at. It was like banana jewelry, but it again was like $1,200 or something. I was like, okay, well, I guess not everything has to be for me personally, and I'll just, you know, wait until they do a collab with like Uniqlo or something like that, because they do good anime collabs all the time and I can afford those.
I cannot ever justify buying a hoodie for $1,000. I'm sorry.
I can't either.
I can't. Yeah. Like, even if it was like the dopest, and my favorite anime is obviously Cowboy Bebop. Like, if it was the dopest Cowboy Bebop hoodie, I could not pay $1,000 for that. If it was like a motorcycle jacket, and it was very, you know, like a lot of work was put into it, like maybe.
Yeah.
And then I'd still look at that thing and be like, why did I buy this?
But what did I do? Yeah. I have a leather jacket. It wasn't $1,000, but it was a pricey leather jacket. My mom purchased it when we were in New York City for herself and then got home and looked at it. And after about a year, she was like, I've never worn this. Lindsay, do you want this jacket for Christmas? I'm like, yes. Yes, please give me. So that's how I have an expensive leather jacket. I got it as a hand-me-down from my mom, but I wear it's like my go-to jacket. It goes with everything.
Leather jackets are great, but that's again, like, it'd have to be like the most decked out really like covered in graphic art. Like it'd have to be the coolest leather jacket I've ever seen. A hoodie for $1K with a cat banana, like
cat and a banana,
like print on it. I'm just like,
I'm assuming now. My thought is probably the logic behind this merchandise line is that whether you know that banana is Japanese, whether you know, watch the anime or not, I don't think that's actually probably the target demo for this. The idea is that you've got girls with lots of money. I guess guys could wear them too. I mean, like they're just pastel. But anyway, yeah. you know, people who will drop money on Gucci in general and will look at the banana and be like, huh, a cat and a banana. That's cute. How quirky. Yes. Give me that, you know, without any real maybe understanding of like what the brand is, where it came from. Like they're not trying to sell this to established banana fans. This is for fashionistas who may also find the concept of a cat inside of a banana like amusing and buy it.
It is very amusing. Those yes. shorts were, I was like, why am I wasting my life? Oh, this is great. I need it in my life.
Yeah. I love banana. I love the long haired banana who like, she's very like prim and like
keeps her all hair. Amazing.
Yeah. Like, there's Daddy Banana, which I bought my husband like a little statue thing of Daddy Banana. He keeps it at his desk at work. And you know it's Daddy Banana because he's got glasses, kind of like yours, Jackie. Like they're like horn rim.
These are glasses. Definitely dad glasses. Yeah.
He's got horn rim glasses and like thinning hair on the top. And then the bottom of his little banana has like little brown spots on it because he's aged, you know? And so I bought it for Matt and he keeps it at his desk. So.
Oh my gosh. I just looked up Dad Banana and that is the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's so stupid. And when someone told me to watch the show, I was like, you're annoying and you're wasting my life. And then I watched it and I was like, why is this just the best thing I've ever seen in my life? And
mm-hmm. It's got a really catchy ending theme too. Like I never skipped like the ending theme.
Yeah, I remember the music being good too. You're making me want to revisit this. And I'm like, why?
Girl? You can watch the whole thing in like 20 minutes. So
I know it is really short at least.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like five minute episodes.
It's like pure happiness.
Yes. Yeah. Just serotonin straight for your brain. So yeah, that's the most important stories of the last week. Banana and then some major anime movie news. So before we get to what was for me one of the grossest episodes of My Hero Academia, I was in like Jackie's role, like how you were with the mushrooms last week.
Yeah.
I had that moment this week and I'll really? Tell you guys. Yeah. So I got ahead of myself before before I tell you about the gut churning moment I had in My Hero Academia. There I heard that AJ got to meet the tall lady everyone's been talking about.
Oh, we forgot about Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Yep. Lady D, because I cannot pronounce her last name to save my soul.
Dimitrisu, right?
Yeah. How
tall is she?
Over 9 feet, like 9 foot six or something.
Yeah.
I love it. There's this TikToker and she's 6'9", and yeah. I like follow her because she's like another tall lady. I mean, like I'm tall, but then that's like 6'9" is extremely tall. And she cosplayed her, and I was like, I got mad respect for her now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All the cosplay was great. But this character, I've loved her since the trailers dropped, you know, like I'm jealous. I literally downloaded it on Steam last night and I haven't been able to play yet. But AJ, like I want to hear what you think because I'm super excited to play.
Yeah, and I even texted you like, are you excited to play the game this weekend? It was because I picked it up. I had just enough time set aside. I had to take care of so many other family stuff this weekend. It was a little annoying, but I did manage to set aside just enough time to play like the opening act of the game. It's about a 10-hour game. I played like the first 3 hours and it is not for the faint of heart. I even told my girlfriend, you cannot be anywhere near me when I play this game, because even if you're not watching, you will be freaked out by my reactions to the game.
Oh no, I'm so scared now.
It's very, they're using that RE engine. It's very gory. It starts off very slow and quiet. And then when shit happens, literally everything is happening and you're just running for your life. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was like. I'm like, okay. Like, I don't want to go too much into it because I want you to experience it fresh, Jackie, but it's basically like, you know, something is wrong. Like literally something just happened and nothing is wrong. and you're trying to figure out what it is. And then when you do find out where it is, you're running for your life. And
I'm so bad at that. Like, cause the thing that always gets me in horror games, cause I play quite a bit of them, is it's always when it's really quiet and you're like in an abandoned, you're in some sort of facility or an abandoned house or something with multiple rooms, and you're in one room and you're getting something, some like, you know, gopher mission, like, oh, go get this from there. And you go get it. And you hear something like crash or fall, and you know it's in like the room outside, like one over. And you're like, God damn it, I have to go check and see what that is, don't I? I have to go look. I don't want to go look. Can I just stay here? Like, I don't want to see what's out there. And then you got to creep. Yeah. And then you look, and it's always worse than whatever you picture. And then you're like, you know, running to get out. So,
Lindsay, anyway. You cannot play a single one of these games because they are masters of sound design. I could walk into a room, hear the door close behind me, and be like, what was that?
Yeah, yeah. No, sound design will get me every time. It'll something will happen, and I'll hear, you know, like I said, the creepy thing, but my initial reaction is like, nope, like control alt delete task manager, and like, nope, I'm out. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go lay on the couch, watch a nature documentary. I can't.
Yep. I know. I like hate horror games.
It's a love hate relationship.
Yeah, it's a love hate. It's a love hate for sure. Cause it's like they are just the thrill, right? Like we obviously love the thrill. But like I was never the type to like gratuitous gore or like really over the top stuff, like some of the Silent Hill stuff. And like I wouldn't even dare watch that. It would like scare the out of me. But The Haunting of Hill House is like one of the best horror. I don't know if you guys saw that show. Like
about 3/4 of it.
Yeah. If you should watch the ending. It's super powerful. When a horror movie has drama and a good plot, like to me, it can be better than absolutely any drama, like anything cinematically. Because it's like if you can combine horror with a really good story and heart and emotion, like you're a talented writer. That's all I can say about
like
that.
Like Babadook or any of that stuff I already asked her. Yeah, like go watch Midsommar again. And you're like,
That thing I have has not layers. Seen Midsommar. I heard that was so good. I'm too scared. I'm too afraid.
Oh, it's not traditionally scary, like jump scare sort of stuff. It's very like
Atmospheric
stuff in your head.
Watch that one. Yeah, what was the other one that was really popular? And it had, was it Toni Collette in it? And it was
Hereditary.
I wanted to see that too, and I was just too afraid.
That one is more like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
Well, I don't want to ruin the twist for it. Like that one got me. Like it definitely got, like there's a 2/3 of the way into it. Like there's a big change up and I was like, oh my God.
Oh man. See, like that's the thing. Like it's like my sister refuses to watch it and I'm from Haunting of Hill House and I'm like, oh, the plot's so good. So it's like you just have to, I guess, get through it. But I think that those are the most talented people. If you can do horror and do it well and make me cry. Yeah. Not out of fear, like cry out of like emotion somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Babadook. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay.
Like Babadook.
I don't think you'll get that from this game from what I see. It more relies on horror and mystery than horror and emotion because I have so many questions and I'll hopefully get those answered by the end of the week.
Okay. But I'm disappointed to hear that, AJ, because I felt like from this trailer, it looked like it was going to be more story, that it wasn't going to be just, you know, I mean, mind you, don't get me wrong. I love a lot of action and gore. Like you both know that more than anybody, but it's like when I think a game is really good is when it somehow has a really strong story. And so I am sad to hear that. Cause I thought that this looked like, you know, they're playing into the village and it just seemed like older. It wasn't just like laboratory and, you know, so
Let me be more specific. It's not emotional in the sense that like what you were describing. I don't think it'll make you cry, but it's definitely intriguing. I have a lot of questions like, what's this village about? Who are they worshiping? Who are these deities that they're talking about? Like every now and then a character will say something kind of not directly at you. And I'm like, where am I? And the characters, it's not just Lady D. She's got like a whole family of eccentric people. And I'm like, all of you have a story and I want to figure it out. And they don't, I don't think they're going the route of, they're not going to tell you directly the story. You find these little things like pictures or notes. And I'm like, that's what happened to you.
I like that kind of storytelling in horror games. One of the best ones that I remember that I played not that long ago was, oh God, it's the one about the painter. Edge of Fear. I'll probably like come back in the YouTube comments to tell the name of it, because there's actually two of them. But the first one, the thing about it is that like it's a walking simulator, and that you're like exploring at this house. It has little puzzles in it as well, but it's also like auto-generated. So you get very disoriented because you might go through a door and then be like, wait, and then try to go back. But when you go backward, the room you go back into is completely different than the one that you came from, sort of thing. So there's a lot of different ways to like navigate through this house. And it's also, oh God, it's also terrifying because like it's in first person the entire time. I remember one part, like I went into, and painting is like a big part of it. The dude was a painter. So you go like through one door, and then it was a dead end. And so then I turn, and then the hallway behind me is gone. And then I'm just in a room, and then I turn again. And then there's like this painting there of something, like the paintings are really scary.
Why do paintings creep the out of me? Like, you're scaring me saying that there was a paint. I don't know why. I think
there's all these creepy paintings. And, yeah. But through the course of it, you find out what happened to this like family of three, because it was a wife, a husband, and a daughter. And so there's also creepy dolls and all these other things.
That oh, hell no. Yeah. Creepy dolls.
And layers of fear might translate. So yeah, it's called Layers of Fear. It's really good. But
I want to Google that.
Really scary.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Dolls and creepy art.
I played that one on stream like over Halloween a couple years ago. And it was just me playing it and going, fuck. Because, you know, like stuff happens.
Oh, you're my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, some of these paintings. And I know why you're scared.
And stuff too, but.
It's like this woman holding this rat, and she looks like a walrus, or something happened to her face.
Yeah, because they're all based on real paintings. So I think that one's like based on Leonardo da Vinci's Lady with an Ermine, and it's like a woman, and originally she's holding like this white-looking ferret, but it's like changed in that version. So it's like a rat. There's a lot of rats in it. The guy kind of has. Like,
dude, I'm stuck. I'm not looking at this art anymore. I'm getting scared. I'm gonna have nightmares from those that art alone. But let's talk about happy.
Let's talk about My Hero Academia. Yeah, yeah. So spoiler warning: we're only talking about episode 95. Nothing else. Nothing from the manga ahead of that. Just the stuff that happened in episode 95 or prior. And I'm gonna let AJ do it. And I'll, you know, jump in when he gets to the gross, disgusting part that freaked me out.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Oh, I know what it is now.
Yeah, okay. I'm more surprised that you were creeped out by it. I think I know what you're talking about.
I know exactly what it is now, but let's hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so a couple of things happen in this episode. So basically, we have the fallout for what happened with the last match where Class Team B... one, it was a battle of wits between Momo and Kendo, with Kendo just barely coming out on top. So that is officially one win for Class A and one win for Class B. Then Vlad notices, oh, my students really did a lot of damage. Let's move to another section and maybe take a break and have everyone refine their bearings, basically. And we get some nice downtime with the characters in between matches. You have All Might kind of pull Deku aside, just be like, have you noticed anything strange about you? Be careful. Because remember, you're going up against Sendo in the end, and he's the one that triggered the first time you saw the past people for one for all. So maybe something will happen again. Foreshadowing, like just in big text everywhere.
Yeah, it's like, don't forget, he had that dream. It's still important.
Remember, all of this kind of started when you went up against this one other student who just happens to be coming back right now.
Not saying
something will happen, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but be careful. And we get some playful jabs, everybody. Tokiyami has a very interesting moment with Shoto where he basically says, hey, I just lost, win it out there. And he's like, and Shoto is even confused, like, oh, why are you coming to me? It's like, well, because I trained under the number two hero, you trained under the number one hero. We kind of need to like up our game compared to everybody else. Like we have certain standards to meet.
Basically. I love that moment.
That was a really nice moment.
I love that moment. I won't interrupt more than that. We can talk about it later. But that moment like really hit me. I'm just like, Tokiyami, Bakugo was my favorite. And I Tokoyami is like very quickly taking that position. Yeah,
they're like edging.
He's starting to edge him out, which I'm a fiery Aries, and Bakugo and I, young Bakugo reminds me a lot of a young Jackie, but like, it's funny. There is a very emo side of me when I was younger, and like Tokoyami is like right there too. You know what I mean? So now I'm just like, I just don't think we've seen as much of Tokoyami as we have like in this current season. I don't want to get into it too much. I want to let AJ finish, but that moment was probably one of my favorites of this. I don't know why, like it just like really got me.
No, it's fine. It's good that like moments like that, I think that's what My Hero Academia does so well. It's like, it's little moments that kind of make you feel how heavy everything is. Even during arcs that sometimes feel totally innocuous, like this one, you plot wise, there might not be a lot happening, but we're getting a sense of where these characters are compared to before and what responsibilities they feel like they need to carry. Because one of the main themes of the series is about lineage and what the next generation is supposed to do with the stuff that they take from the previous generation. Speaking of which, we get a little bit with Endeavor off screen, where he's sort of fulfilling his, I saw that, Jackie, where he's sort of trying to uphold his responsibilities as the number one hero and harass his son, basically.
You know what I do have to give Endeavor credit for, though? Again, we can address this later, but he made me hate him in this episode so much, and then made me like crack up harder than I've cracked up in a long time in this one episode. But we can get that later. Yeah, but I literally was like, My Hero Academia, it does have its fluffy moments, but it can really hit in comedy sometimes. And that's why I was like, man, I was stewing over Endeavor. And then like literally like a few minutes later, I was like dying, but I'll let you get to it.
No, it's fine. Just the idea of this big, strong man basically saying, basically crying over the fact that my son won't talk to me.
Text me back.
We just flashed to that I abused a lot growing up won't talk to me.
I think what got me the most about this scene is like, I don't know. It's just funny. Like, I'm starting to get older now, and I just, and also just with my parents and just the disparity of like technology. Understanding as you get older. And so it's like, he's like, I'm hip. I'm on this Facebook equivalent and I'm trying to connect with my son. Like, you know what I mean? And like, he literally got me. That moment got me so much. Like, the fact that he was even on some Facebook equivalent and then he like is trying to reach out and like, I don't know. I just found it.
Hey, text me back. Hey, how are you doing?
Text me back.
What do you want to have for dinner? You know, all this. And
I'm trying to be like kind of cool. Like, you know, like all these different responses and getting like absolutely nothing. And then when he had his moment where he was like, Shoto, and I was just like, oh my god, like that whole interaction I thought was really, really good. So
I agree. I have a similar moments where there's a reason why I don't use Facebook that much anymore, because a lot of my aunts and grandparents are on there. I'm like, I can't talk about things the same way on there that I do like on Twitter and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So
sorry, boomers, once you start getting on a platform, all of us just leave.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the best part, was like, I bet he doesn't even use that platform.
Yeah.
It was what kind of got me. It was like, his dad thinks he's being so hip. He's like, I'm connecting with him via, like, let's say Facebook, right? And then it's like, Shutter's probably got like Instagram or something. Or TikTok, even more, even further ahead. So that was a cute moment.
Todoroki would be that guy that blows up on TikTok without even trying.
Yeah.
Like, it could just be of him eating or something with a popular song playing, and it would get hundreds of thousands of likes.
Hold on, we need to have that viral right now. Yeah. If Deku and Todoroki and Bakugo were on TikTok, like, what would they be? Like, I can't even. Todoroki would totally be the pretty e-boy, for sure.
He would be
zero effort.
But he would absolutely be a pretty e-boy. Deku, I think, would probably just
be a TikToker?
I think he'd find it fun. I think
he'd make educational videos.
Yeah, he'd drop fun
stuff from his notebook for sure. Yeah. He'd be like, today we're learning about pro hero X, you know, da da da. Did you know? He'd be like me with mushrooms. But
and Bakugo, did you know, gaming of angry rants. Yes. Yeah. Deku and Bakugo angry rants for sure.
Oh, no. Like, you know, Nicholas is saying Bakugo is Backyard Stunts channel, which I totally believe. Like, he would have like a trampoline or something and then be trying to like do some sort of cool flip and then end up like burning a hole through the bottom of it, like landing on his ass or something.
All right, yeah. Maggots, I'm going to show you how to do a backflip, like a backflip yeah. corkscrew off the wall here.
Yeah. You're right. He would be that cringy guy. Be, like, you're just like, you were putting way too much energy into this, but that would definitely be, you know, who would probably kill it on TikTok too? No, Denki might be a little bit too cheesy, but I feel like Denki would try really hard to be a TikToker. I could see hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
Mineta,
sorry.
Though. Like, I feel
Mineta would try so hard.
He would be really trying hard on TikTok because he's no, like, some ladies on there.
All the first trap e girls and just write comments on all
of them. Yeah.
I do duets with them that no one will see.
Oh,
yeah. Oh God, I creeped myself imagining that.
We should make a video of what the kids would be on TikTok. Like that would literally tick off on TikTok. Okay, we gotta work on that.
Speaking of Bakugo, he also gets a moment with Deku and All Might. It's sweet where he's basically like, hey, you guys told me to keep this secret and you're making it really hard because it looks really obvious you guys are keeping a secret.
Yeah.
What happened?
Wandering off together and whispering to each other. People are going to find out you're up to something, you dork.
Yeah.
100%.
And then Deku and All Might tell him, he's like, wait, so you're getting, sounds like you're getting worse, that you can't control this power anymore. I've been getting better. You better not be getting weaker. We're rivals here. Like don't fall behind. But and then he kind of walks away, but you kind of see the look on his face. He's a little bit worried.
Yeah.
He just can't express
himself. Oh, I think
himself.
He totally cares. Was it All Might who was like, I guess this is like Bakugo, or this is like Bakugo showing he cares, you know?
Yeah, it's like his equivalent of, he was concerned because he would not have walked over and talked to them if he did not care.
Yeah.
And that was only the first half of the episode. The second half is we get the actual matchup, the third matchup of Class 1A versus Class 1B. For Class 1A, we have Tail Dude, Ojiro, Tentacle Dude, Shoji, Shoto, Todoroki, and Ida versus Tetsu, Juzo. Who I actually did not recognize in his hero costume until I looked him up online and realized
his hero costume is legit.
It looks really good. You can't tell who he is at all.
I love
it. Looks like he's from Tron, though.
I love it. It does look Tron-esque, but I love it.
Yeah.
He's the dude from the camp arc with like all the teeth.
His power doesn't have anything to do with his teeth. I was really confused about that. Like, how does his face like facial design, what does that have to do with his mud power?
It has absolutely nothing. It's just
a
mutation.
He just looks cool. what does Ada's costume have to do with? He just looks like a Voltron character.
He kind of looks like a train.
He's like a cross between a knight and a train. And we'll get into Ida's thing in a second. Also on Class 1B, we have Sen Kaibara, who I keep wanting to say sounds eerily close to Seto Kaiba, but no relation. And Pony.
Pony's
the transport American student.
Pony the Pony.
Yes, yeah. Pony the Pony, who has a little moment of, who has our moment of English of the day, basically.
Yeah.
Which
that's so funny. I was like, oh, so which they did say that she was a transfer student.
Yeah, this was like a few arcs ago where we first got a glimpse of her. Her first introduction, she speaks in English. She's an American student.
That, I did in this episode, though. I was like, oh, okay. So there you go.
I wonder how that'll work out for the dub. Like,
it's going to be a nightmare. I think in the dub, when she was first introduced, they just gave her made her sound really American, basically. Which her accent is really thick in this. And I saw YouTube comments on this. It brings up a very good point. Someone said that, why does Jiro have better English pronunciation than Pony, who's from America? Because Jiro sang the English song last season.
Oh, right.
And then it hit me, wait a minute, did anybody in that audience understand that song because it was in English?
Oh, yeah, probably like, she probably listens to a lot of like English
American
and British
rock
music.
Yeah, I'm like, I wonder if they have to know, like, because like Lady Gaga and some of like the major pop stars, like they just, you know what I mean? They're popular all across the world. So,
yeah.
I mean, good music's good music. It hits.
True. So. Yeah. It's like how we like a lot of anime openings, but we don't always know what they're saying half
Remember
the time.
Remember that, oh my gosh, that one song that went super viral. Oh my gosh, why can I not think of it? and they're doing the dance like this.
Oh, Gundam style?
Yes. Like, you know, when a good song hits.
Yeah.
So that was a good song that quickly became the most annoying song ever.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of songs just go viral because timing sometimes.
Yeah.
But
we need to bring that back. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
No, we don't. It'll come back when cons come back, maybe. It's almost old enough to be retro, unfortunately.
Aww,
but cons. The funny thing about this matchup is compared to... So the first matchup was about... The first two matchups were about planning. This is just about, let's just find the other team and fight them.
Let's just beat the crap out of each other, guys. Because no one has... Well, I shouldn't say no one, but one class B doesn't have a stealth character.
Yeah, they don't have a scout around. Or anything like that.
They don't have anyone who has an ability that lends themselves to that. So Tetsu is like, I'm just
bring the fight to them. They're just gonna scout us, so let's just find them.
Just punch my way through it. And
which that is very un-Ada like. I don't think Ida would have been down for that. Like, I was a little bit surprised. I was like, he's... I find him to be more of an over planner, like OCD than Kendo.
Yeah.
So that kind of like, I was like,
Well, he's I think they were very overconfident because I think it kind of goes without saying that Todoroki is hands down like the strongest student in class 1A. So everyone's like, oh, he's got his fire and ice. They can cover a wide range. He can cover a wide range and he technically has no weaknesses because now that he's using fire and ice, he can balance himself out. So, and that was Tetsu's counter. Cause everyone's like, whoa, dude, shouldn't we like scout or something? He's like, you kidding me? They have a scout and they have Todoroki. No, let's just bring the fight to them. And surprisingly it's Juzo. That's like, Yeah, that would make sense. He seems like a very just go with the flow kind of guy.
Go with the mud flow.
Yeah, and then we get to the okay. There's either one of two parts that I think Lindsay didn't like. The first was Todoroki straight up freezes everybody and tries to hold them in place, but Juzo's ability is called is it like muddy or softening. Where he's able to basically turn anything he touches into like a mud-like texture. Like he can soften it and re-harden it. So he softens all the ice to make sure that people can get free and basically.
I didn't think that was it. Was that it?
No, I mean that is kind of, I thought it like visually it was kind of creepy to see everything melting in like a Salvador Dali painting sort of way, but
And the other thing was Ida, wasn't it?
It was Ida.
Yeah. It was Ida's holes in his leg.
Oh, yes. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
So
the episode ends with him So basically everyone is branched off to do one-on-ones and Ida gets recaptured in the ice. And they're like, oh, you used your burnout move, basically. So you won't be able to move for a while. He's like, ah, yes, that was a weakness. But I have since trained. And basically his brother taught him like the family secret where it's like, if we just pull out your mufflers that are physically integrated into your legs and you train without them for a bit, you can get rid of that weakness.
Stronger ones will grow in? Like,
okay. I don't know. Yeah. It was unclear. I don't know if they grow in or they just replace them with stronger ones, but his body needed to adjust to
them. I thought they grew in. I thought that was what they said. But it's disgusting. Yeah. And I get it. It was so funny. When you said it, I couldn't think of it. And I looked down, I saw Ida, and I was like, oh, it was Ida's thing for sure.
Okay, so like multiple levels. Okay, I have so many questions about this, but first of all, I'll explain why this is particularly gross to me. A lot of people probably, this isn't an uncommon phobia, but there's this thing called tryptophobia.
I have the same thing of holes, right?
Yeah.
Yes! Or porous objects or, you know, things like, they gross me out. Part of it is just this like inner feel, it's probably like primal on some level of the idea that there's bugs in there. Like if I see something covered in holes, my first thought is like bugs are
you want to know what I heard it's because of? It's because it looks like decaying flesh, and they say that in your past life you may have died from like a disease or something like that.
That's kind of
this
the
is
big
if you want to get like all like
karmic, you know, about
astrology, witch talky about it. They say that like if you have a fear of holes, it's because like in a past life or someone in past generations like died in a plague or something.
What scares me personally is that like in the early aughts, there was kind of like this viral gross out image that went around where someone took a lotus pod, which if you've seen that a dried lotus pod. It's, you know, they're usually about this big and they have a bunch of holes in them. They took it and they did like a Photoshop with it.
I know what image you're talking about.
On someone's hand. And then that sort of going around the internet. So you would get this picture and it would be look like someone's hand, but it would look like there's a bunch of like holes in it. Someone turned it into a GIF where like it did actually like, and I was traumatized. I saw it when I was like maybe 10 or something. And ever since I'm just like, when it comes to that sort of stuff. So, yeah, don't like that already. Don't like that already. And then Ida, bro, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, you couldn't hit up Recovery Girl or something, like check yourself in and be like, have her like take those out for you. Is there no like hero, like medical system? You had to go into the woods, get like a wash rag, put it in your mouth so you don't bite off your own tongue from the pain, and then just tear them out. There was blood and everything. I was like, this is just
the funny thing is it's slightly more graphic in the manga.
Really?
Well, yeah, because there's a bit more detail and stuff there. We also don't focus on it as much in the manga, but like, yeah, I mean, it works. He can now use his burner thing that's the capstone of the episode. He's like, I can use this for 10 straight minutes. I can go at full speed for 10 straight minutes. And if you think about it, that completely removes his, I don't know, I forget what happens afterwards, but he can only do one burst before and then he's burnt out for like a few minutes. Now it's like, nope.
Now he's like, I'm sure that the reason they did it that way was to be like, yeah, this is like a physical trial of how intense you want it. So you got to pull out your own exhaust tubes. But it's just like,
it's someone in the chat just described as it's like pulling out your own teeth so you can grow back stronger.
Yeah.
Teeth. Yeah. It is kind of like that.
Yeah. Same idea. Yeah.
I can't. Nope.
No, thank you. No. But,
This episode was a lot of foreshadowing this episode, both for the next episode, which will wrap up this match, like with Todoroki and Ida. And there's a lot of foreshadowing for the matches that'll come after this.
Yeah.
Like with Deku and everything. But I think personally, I thought it was a little refreshing that we kind of go from all this planning, which is great. I love the trying to outsmart the other team. But sometimes it's nice just to be like, let's just fight and see who comes out on top.
Yeah, let's just start brawling. We got to see a little bit, as far as the B team goes, we got to see a little bit of Pony's power, which appears to be, she's so cute. I like her eyes a lot, like her eye design.
Yeah,
she can shoot horns out, right? Yes,
and control up to four of them at a time.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of Hawks's power. Of course, he's got all the feathers that he can shoot out and have grappings, but it reminded me a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little bit of that. It's similar to that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And we also got what was his name? Sen's power, which is based. I didn't realize this until I looked at his design. He's got spirals all over his suit. He can basically constantly twist his body, like basically turn his hands and feet into drills because Gurren Lagann.
Look at his neck too.
Yeah.
Oh, Gurren Lagann, don't even. that's a great
Jackie still misses Kamina.
I know. Kamina, he's definitely up there for top five crushes of all time.
He's the number one himbo, if you think about it.
He is. But I feel like his quirk gyrate. Sorry, I find the word gyrate like sexual in nature, so I'm
gonna it's a weird word,
but I feel like his power has a lot of uses, like
he's flying,
he can fly. I feel like if he wanted to just like do search and rescue, like he'd be really good at recovering people trapped after like a national a disaster of some kind, or he could just go into dentistry.
The mushroom girl will start up a mushroom restaurant and he is going to be a dentist. When they are like they're done with the hero life, like, you know, they're just like, I'm over it. That'll be their second life. That'll be their second life for sure.
And then Japan's economy will just boom.
I found his power to be a lot more powerful than Pony. Like, I was like a little unimpressed by Pony. And then by Spiral Guy, I was like, that's actually like a pretty impressive power. At least I felt that way. I mean,
if she at least had like the strength of like a horse, it might even be more, but like, I wouldn't mess with a horse.
Yeah.
My grandpa has hooves.
She has hooves.
Does she have like legit hooves? Just on her feet though, right? Not on her feet.
Maybe we're going to see more from her. I just was kind of like,
horns. Cool.
You know,
she either has hooves or she constantly wears platform shoes. It like in all the artwork I've seen,
I think they're hooves. Yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh, Spiral Guy's kind of powerful. She kind of like left a little bit to be desired. Tetsu Tetsu is basically like Kirishima for them, you know?
Yeah.
But Mudman has a pretty, that's actually a pretty legit quirk. And yeah. I'm excited to see how the battle plays out. For our team, it's total, or not our team. I feel like when I say 1A, it's like our team, but like 1A has a really strong team. So yeah. I guess I kind of was just like hoping, you know, because with the last matchup, I thought they were going to get stomped. You know what I mean? Like I was like, okay, what is Mushroom Girl going to effing do here? You know what I mean? And then it was totally, you know, tables were turned. So I'm just kind of interested to see how this one plays out. It was cool to see like Ada had like a really nice, like brother moment. You know what I mean? Like I always really, I love the Stain arc. I love like Ada really having to like overcome some like major grief and step up to the plate. Like that's just, I love Ada's one who I feel like kind of gets slept on too. So I was happy he got a little bit more attention.
But also feels like we haven't seen him in a while because
it didn't feel like that.
He didn't participate in any of like the, like he did that training while during the overhaul arc, like while everyone was doing that. So it's like, and he's supposed to be like kind of this three with Deku, Uraraka, and him.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of Uraraka and a lot of Deku, but Ida's kind of been pushed to the side since the Stain arc, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I'm secretly rooting for Team B because this current Team A lineup is 3 out of 4 Lindsay's grossest characters. Like, we've got guy with weird kangaroo tail with hair on the end. Okay.
Tail dude.
His name is Tail Man, and he basically just does judo with his tail.
Yeah.
And then, but look, it's even like sticking up right there in the picture. You can see it's weird, like fur on the end of it. It's gross. Okay.
His tail is bad. I agree.
His tail is bad. Yeah. And then like we have Tentacle, who I kind of feel bad for him, but at the same time I don't, because he's got a bunch of gross arms and he like grows ears out of him and like hands out.
And he
like,
talks through his hands.
Oh my god, you know, like ripping his body parts out of his legs, his calves, you know, it's a sensitive area. So but I mean, I'm here for
the
Todoroki.
Team has best boy Todoroki.
He does have Todoroki.
It balances out.
Yeah. He makes up for a lot.
1A is gonna lose. Todoroki,
you think so?
Todoroki is sick, or whatever the hell he was coughing about. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't remember that. Is he sick?
Oh no,
he was coughing. And then Ada said, "What's wrong with you?" You guys don't remember that?
No.
No.
You guys, please. They were walking up and Todoroki was like coughing. And then they were like, "Are you okay?" And he was like, "Yeah, it's nothing." You guys don't remember that?
No.
No, no. He said that to Tokiyomi because he's like, "Hey, are you?"
No. It wasn't with Tokiyomi. It was with, they were in battle. And then like Ada was like, "Get serious." And like all this, like not like get serious in a mean way, but
I know what you're talking about. There was a moment where he's like, you seem concerned or you don't seem yourself.
There was that moment, but then he coughed later. And then they were like, "Are you sick or something?"
Oh, no. That's because Endeavor was talking about him. He sneezed. That's like an anime joke where if someone's talking about you and you're in like not in the same room, you'll sneeze. And that's like,
I was like, is he okay? Because
yeah, similar to the idea, like, are your ears burning?
Oh,
when someone's talking about you, like, sort of thing.
That was the cut right after the Shoto line. That it was a quick cut.
Oh,
that was for a joke.
Okay, that's an anime trope. How have I never known this?
Yeah, there'll be a scene of like two characters somewhere talking and they talk about another character and then it'll go to wherever that other character is.
I've totally seen that before. Yeah.
And there'll even moments where like, oh, I guess someone's talking about me. That's what they're referring to.
I still think they're going to lose because I was going to say, even if I thought that he was feeling sick, but I thought it was more a mental thing. And I thought it was because of the drama with his dad. So
I think there is going to be definitely some like confrontation. Cause I think he still has some hangups about his firepower. Cause he was definitely thinking about like, he was thinking about his dad's move,
his dad's signature move.
His dad was trying to teach him it. And it was a very abusive situation. So he's never, I think, followed through with using it. God, Son of a bitch, man. He never followed through with using it, but he's thinking about using it, but you know, there's a lot of emotional baggage for him if he does it.
I feel like something's going to crack here. Like, we're building up to it, and everyone thinks that they're going to be so good because they got Ada. I mean, they do have a strong lineup. I think, like, even there was a line, I'm trying to remember what I wrote down, but someone was like, that's a nice balanced team. You know what I mean? Like, they're very strong.
I think it was Deku.
Yeah. So, like, they're like set up for failure. I just wanted to bring this up, but at the very beginning, they talked about Shinzo and his connection to Deku. And I forgot to bring that up.
Yeah. AJ was talking about that a little bit earlier, because that was supposed to be part of the foreshadowing for Deku's dream, is that, like, the last time he saw. Before his dream, the last time he saw all the previous holders of the quirk was when Shinzo used mind control on him. So the thought is that if Shinzo if Shinzo uses mind control on Deku during their upcoming fight, we might see those quirk holders again, and something might happen.
Spontaneous activation. I mean, like, there is some serious.
I forgot that they kept saying spontaneous activation. I know. I was like, there's another thing that happens at that time in your life.
Mm. Word choice in this episode is just
my gosh.
Great.
I did not think that at all. And I didn't think of that either.
Oh, and I genuinely think I have a pretty dirty mind. So thanks for that.
I'm like, Lindsay, I didn't think of that at all. And now I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, but I was really intrigued. Now I'm starting to get a little bit excited, because I'm like, I can't wait to see what happens with this Shinzo Deku connection. Cause, like, I feel like something really bad could happen.
It could, yeah, something.
I mean,
something.
I know AJ knows. I know some people in the chat.
Ignore the look on my face.
Yeah. I guess I kind of want to bring that up, because I guess I'm like, this is what I'm seeing play now. I think for next episode, Class 1B is going to take it. I feel like something bad is really looming. That's my thoughts.
I do want to bring up one more thing before we close off, and I specifically wanted to save it to the end because I know there's going to be somebody that wants to try to spoil it. Do you guys remember anything else from that flashback with Endeavor? He specifically,
huge. We talk about the older brother. Is it Toya?
Yeah, he name drops him. He's like, Toya almost mastered this move, but his constitution was too much like his mother. So, like, his firepower was stronger than Endeavor's, but his body was still weaker like his mother. So he couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
we still don't know.
I thought when they said constitution, I thought mental. Like, because you know how the mother had a breakdown. So I was
That's true. But so, no, she has a very frail body.
Yeah. Like, so I thought it was more like he couldn't handle it mentally. And like, maybe it's a combination of both. I mean, hello, how could someone not have a mental break getting treated like that?
Well, that's what Todoroki is kind of going through right now.
Exactly.
It's the next stage of what happened with Deku, where it's like, I don't want to use my firepower because I don't want to remind myself that I'm my dad's son, and now he's fine with making it his own. But now it's literally, you are using a move that your father abused you to learn, and that's a big mental block he has to overcome.
100%. And I also am just like,
throw the man in a volcano.
I know, Endeavor, man.
Probably like it in there.
Oh my gosh, I'm just like. It's been hard to watch some of the scenes with him, though. I said at least they threw in a little bit of comedy. The thing about My Hero Academia that is so mind-boggling to me is it can be so funny. Like, we talked about this with Jujutsu Kaisen. It has, like, these great comedic moments, and it's playing, like, this happy music. Like, I wrote down in my notes, like, very happy, positive music. Like, the beginning of the episode, it's like, I don't remember. It was just, like, very happy. And then you show something like that, and then you're thinking about Todoroki and just like, what is this teenager going through? And like, you just forget sometimes just like the heaviness of this anime. It's crazy. So
lighthearted and then trauma, basically.
Yeah. I mean, that's some heavy trauma there. Like, we've seen, like, obviously there's tons of dark anime out there. Like, Devilman Crybaby was just like traumatizing just watching that thing, you know.
Just talking about Castlevania too.
Oh my god. Yeah.
But when it comes to Todoroki, it's tricky because take away the powers, that's a more real situation of like what Endeavor puts him and his mom and his siblings through.
Yeah.
Like, there are assholes out there who take lineage and stuff very seriously.
They do, or they think that, I mean, yeah, you say you take the superpower situation out of it, and then it just becomes a parent who has some sort of unrealistic expectation of their child to be able to do X thing. You need to make varsity, or, you know, you need
you need to do this because I couldn't, or
You need to follow my footsteps and master this piano piece for your recital, or you're not good enough.
Lindsay, that was it. Like, it was funny. I was watching with my dad, and he, like, you know, doesn't really watch anime much, you know, but he's visiting me right now. And he literally audibly said out loud, you know, it said like, something like, you can fulfill my ambition. You know, my dad was like, oh my God, like this man is awful.
And when I watch Dance Moms, like the parents that
100%.
I watch that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, you don't
moms, even have prom moms,
the like, worst dance mom things. Ever. Yeah. That's our headline for the podcast. Endeavor is the worst dance mom.
Endeavor is a dance mom, 100%. Oh my God.
Oh, on that fine note.
Yeah, on that note.
On that note. All right, I want to thank everybody for coming to the show today. We'll be back again at the same time on Mondays. We're at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Once again, I want to remind everyone to sign up for the ANN newsletter that is now live. It's at animenewsnetwork.com/newsletter. Sign up, give us, you know, your deets, and we'll send that in your inbox every Sunday morning. And make sure to head over to Kaimono Merch to get Anime News Network merchandise. There's going to be a new drop on there pretty dang soon. We also have some really exciting videos coming up. I've got this month, I got to interview 4 different NFL players. What is my life? I got to interview Mike Daniels, Lawrence Guy, Marvin, the Flash, Gordon, and Cameron Jordan. And we talked about Skate the Infinity, one of the gayest animes of last season. I got 4 NFL players to watch it and then talk to me about it. And they were all really good.
Oh, I can't wait to
listen. Oh, they're probably amazing. I can't wait to watch.
They're really good sports. So we're going to have that dropping on the Anime News Network YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to us on social, but especially on the YouTube channel. Make sure you got notifications set up because you're going to want to watch that. A little bird told me that we might have a couple of those football players in the chat when it goes live. So if you want to talk to them.
Ooh.
You're going to want to be there when it goes up. So, all right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Also, look at my cool tattoos.
I know.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.